Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. On this broadcast, Shaladio teaches God's word on soul ties and other relationship issues affecting the believer. Listen and be blessed. Super excited to bring this news to you. Breaking Soul Ties now comes to Lagos, Nigeria on the 16th of May 2015. Register now for free on www.soulties-niger.xyz. I repeat, www.soulties-niger.xyz. Hurry now. See you there. Soul tie is simply the captivation of your soul by another person or thing. A soul tie is also the attachment of your soul to another person or thing. A soul tie exists when there are things or people you can't just say no to when you should be saying no to them. You can read all about soul ties on www.breakingsoulties.com. Breaking Soul Ties is present on many social media platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube, BlackBerry Messaging, and internet radio stations. Please follow Shaladio on Twitter using the following handles, @Shaladio and @SoulTiesTweets to read about tweets on Soul Ties. If you need to chat to Shaladio, you can link up with him on BB using the PIN 52C7F3CD. I repeat, 52C7F3CD. You can also email him on breakingsoulties@charisministries.org. That is KARIS ministries.org.
Hi there, welcome to the program. My name is Shola Adio. Welcome to episode 5 of our series on how to believe God for a spouse. In this series, I am sharing fundamental spiritual principles that will help single men and women to believe God for a spouse and to also find a spouse. I will be sharing core principles of confessions, faith, hope, seed principle, prayer, discernment, and so on. This series will apply to both men and women. I want to share this prayer with you before we start, and that is the Ephesians prayer. You'll find the Ephesians prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 and 18. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that our eyes will be opened supernaturally by the Spirit of God to see the reality of your revelation, to see the reality of your word, to see the reality of the things that you have prepared for us, even before the foundations of the world. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because a door of utterance is opened for me to speak your wisdom, your knowledge, and your power directly into the hearts and the lives of your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you because everyone under the sound of my voice will come under the operation of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, will see clearly in their spirit the reality of your word, and will go forth and produce miracles and testimonies in their personal lives in no time from now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I just want to do a quick recap of what we shared last week. It was very powerful. Make sure you get last week's episode 4 of this series. Now, this is what we shared. I'll just summarize it in 2 minutes and we move on to the next thing that we've got for today. Romans chapter 4 is where the crux of the matter was, verses 19 to 21. I mean, this is something we can dissect for like 6 episodes, but we'll run through it quickly. I'll read the scripture and then we'll go on. Verse 19 says, "And being all weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Now, Romans 4:19-21. So in these three verses, we are able to see two things here. The first thing we saw was weak faith, and we liken weak faith to a tea that is over diluted with water. So what unbelief does is that it weakens your faith, it dilutes your faith, it neutralizes the strength of your faith. And this is how you know that your faith is weak, and this is how you know that you are walking in unbelief. The Bible says he considered not his own body now dead, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So it means that if you consider the enormity of your situation, what's the enormity of your situation here? Maybe there's something about you that prevents people from approaching you to marry you. It could even be a disability, come to think of it. Oh, and I actually want to touch on that. Now, I just had that in my spirit. If you are disadvantaged in any way, if you are physically disadvantaged in any way, it still does not stop you, as in it still does not mean that you cannot believe God for someone to marry you. You can believe God for a person to marry you. I have a friend who is visually impaired. He's visually impaired. I mean, that's the official term for it. In Nigeria, they say he's blind. But the official term is visually impaired. He is married to a woman who has two eyes, who sees and is not visually impaired. And this woman loves him to the bones. I have visited them. I saw them. I didn't see it in her eyes at all that she appeared to be, she didn't consider herself to be disadvantaged because she married this man. And to the glory of God, I had some news some weeks back that they've actually just had a baby. So they have a baby now, a baby girl, and they're rolling on. So the fact that there is a physical disadvantage about you does not mean that you cannot believe God, and does not mean that God cannot provide someone who loves you, especially if that physical disadvantage is something about you that you are not going to change, or you don't want to change, or it's something that is not like it's a faith project that is going to change. Do you understand what I mean? So you can still believe God, but of course anything that is physically disadvantaged about you can be changed. I mean, I'm not ruling out a miracle, but someone can still marry you despite that physical disability. Now let's go on. Today we want to actually find out what is unbelief, and want to describe what unbelief is, so that we'll have an idea, we'll know how to avoid it, and you will be able to detect the presence of unbelief in your system and begin to fight it. Now in the Greek, unbelief means apistia. Apistia. Apistia is a Greek word that means faithlessness. It also means disbelief. Disbelief simply means that I said something to you and you don't believe me. So if God says something to you, do you believe him? Now, if I say to my daughter that I'm going to buy her an iPad mini fingerprint touch at the end of the year. Now, if I've said that to her, if she believes me, she's going to be happy. She's going to be rejoicing every day. She's going to keep it in her thoughts on a daily basis that my dad promised me an iPad, and she will be happy about it. Not only will she be happy about it, she will tell her friend that this is what my dad promised me. She will say it with confidence. Why? Because she believes in the integrity of my word. Now, do you believe in the integrity of the word of God to the point that you don't disbelieve him? So that's, I mean, apistia means disbelief. Apistia also means weakness of faith. So you see that unbelief has a diluting effect on the strength of your faith. So the word unbelief there means apistia, which means weakness of faith. So we see that unbelief, it's like something, is an agent, is a substance that weakens your faith. Now, faith does not have to be big. There's no such thing as big faith, small faith. In fact, your faith only needs to be small as a grain of mustard seed. And Jesus Christ said that if your faith is as small as a grain of mustard seed, that you will be able to move any mountain in your life, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hallelujah. Now, before we go quickly, let's look at three levels of unbelief that I have identified or have studied and learnt about. The first level of unbelief is what I describe as not having a revelation at all from God about something. So it means that you are totally unaware of a provision that God has made in that area of your life. Let me give you an example of somebody who was totally unaware. Now, Elisha the prophet, some king of Syria, whatever he calls himself, sent in some soldiers to come and arrest him and round him up. So they came in, a huge battalion, and they were out there, and the prophet's servant tapped Elisha and said, look at these people out there. Alas, what, my master, what shall we do? Now, the guy saw the contradictory evidence that came against them, but he had no clue at all that God had a promise for them. He had no clue of God's provision of divine protection. And what did the servant of God do, Elisha? Elisha now said, Lord, open the eyes of his understanding that he may see that those who are for us are more than those who have come against us. And the Bible said that the Lord opened his eyes and he saw the whole place filled with chariots and horses, chariots of fire and horses and angels with swords, everything. And then the guy calmed down. Do you see that? So it is possible for you to walk in unbelief if you don't have a revelation of the provisions of God and the resources of God in that area of your life. And the way you combat this is by coming into the Word of God, listening to Christian teachings, listening to messages from, Christian teachings, and reading your Bible. And then also, you know, it's like interacting with the Christian body of knowledge. Say, for instance, you have a sickness in your body. You can read the Bible. You can read the Bible about and ask God for a revelation of divine healing. And then you'll be able to see that God has made a provision for your healing, even though you feel sickness in your body. So that's one level of unbelief. One level of unbelief is that you don't have a knowledge, you don't have a revelation of what God has provided or of the resources that God has made available to you in Christ Jesus. I'll see you after the break and we'll continue with our analysis of what unbelief is all about.
So I'm super excited to bring this news to you. Breaking Soul Ties now comes to Lagos, Nigeria on the 16th of May 2015. Register now for free on www.soulties-niger.xyz. I repeat, www.soulties-niger.xyz. Hurry now, see you there! Welcome back to the second part of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. Listen and be blessed.
Welcome back. Now, we left off before the break at defining the first level of unbelief, which is that you don't have a clue of what God has provided. You don't know what God has provided, and it means that you are ignorant of the promises of God. If you are ignorant of the promises of God, then you need to get into the scriptures. You need to search the scriptures and locate what God has said unto you, and locate his promises, and locate his resources. Hallelujah. Now, the second level of unbelief, and also as you do that, before I go on to number two, is that you should be praying the Ephesians prayer. The Ephesians prayer is that you are asking God to open the eyes of your understanding, that you may see the reality of the provisions that he has made available to you in Christ Jesus. Now, the honest truth is that everything you want to believe God for, God has already paid for it. In fact, not only has he paid for it, he has handed everything to you. And I'll explain. How do I know that? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Who hath, past tense, blessed us. Not who is going to bless us. Not who we are going to convince to bless us. Not who we are going to beg in prayer and fasting to bless us. He says, "Who hath already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So you see, God has already blessed me with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the assignment I have now is not to beg him to hand me a spouse. The assignment I have now is not to beg him to hand me a miracle. The assignment I have now is to discover the reality of what he has given unto me, so that I can receive them into my life by faith. Now let's go to number two. Number two, level of unbelief, is when you have been taught the opposite of revelation, which I will call poor doctrine or bad doctrine. Now, let me give you an example of bad doctrine. An example of bad doctrine is when people stand up in church and say to you that speaking in tongues is only for a selected few people, and that if you are not one of those selected few people, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you cannot speak in tongues. Now, that is bad doctrine. I see a lot of that when I, you know, meet Christians who don't attend the sort of church that I attend, or who don't have the sort of knowledge that I have about the things of God. I meet those kind of people. Now, when I begin to speak to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and begin to share scriptures with them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they react and they say to me that, no, you must be selected. And I tell them, you don't have to be selected. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit is open unto every single one of us. The Bible says that, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh, it is opened unto them." And the Bible says that, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give unto you the gift of the Holy Ghost when you ask him?" Did you see that? Now, someone missed that scripture out of the pages when he was convincing you that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for some selected few. I mean, this is truth. Truth is that everybody has access to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But now, the unbelief there is that they've been taught for 10 years in their denominations that you cannot speak in tongues because you are not one of those selected people. And you know, what then baffles me is that the people who actually hold on to this doctrine happen to be the ones that are not selected, in quotes, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? So it means that when I want to propagate this bad doctrine, it means that I will now make you the victim of the bad doctrine and say, "You are the one who cannot receive it. You are the one who is not specially selected." So all the people I have met, none of them have told me that they are specially selected. They only have told me that they are the ones who are not specially selected. So you see, unbelief has a lot to do with what you are taught. So if you are taught wrong doctrine, you will have difficulty in receiving what they have taught you that you don't deserve. Now, number three level of unbelief is what I call sense knowledge evidence being more overwhelming than the reality of unseen truths. Now, what does that mean? We already studied that last week, which is in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 21. The Bible says that being not weak in faith, he considered not the deadness of his body, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, which means that the third level of unbelief has to do with the fact that there is a conflict going on inside you, and that conflict is between what your natural situation is saying and what the word of God is saying. And the Bible says, whose report shall you believe? So if you believe the report of God, then it means that you have gone with the faith of God. But if you believe the report of the devil, or the report of Twitter, or the report of Facebook, or the report of your scornful friends, then it means that sense knowledge will begin to overcome the reality of the promises of God in your heart. So the third level of unbelief is when the reality of what is going on outside you overwhelms the reality of the unseen truths of the word of God that you are calling out into manifestation. Now, an example of this was when the disciples could not cast the demon out of the boy. Now, how do I know? Very easy. This is not the first time that disciples are trying to cast out demon out of people. They've done it before successfully. On this occasion, they could not do it. Why couldn't they do it? I'll tell you why. What had happened was that they had become spiritually careless. They were not praying and they were not fasting, according to Jesus. So what had happened was that they were more conscious of sense knowledge evidence than the faith of God that is on the inside of them. So what then happened was that they met with this particular situation. Now, the honest truth is you don't need to go and fast and pray to cast out a devil. So if I bring a devil to you, the name of Jesus on your lips or my lips should cast that devil out instantly. But the problem was that when they began to cast this devil out, the manifestation, the boy was still manifesting. And you see, as that boy was manifesting, when they looked at their time, they looked at the clock, and they saw that the last one they did last week, the boy or girl that was involved got delivered in 2 minutes. Now they looked at today's own, and they saw that the boy did not appear to be delivered in over 10 minutes. So they lost hope. And they thought that, oh, this thing did not work because the physical and contradictory evidence lingered for so long. So they lost track. Now, let me tell you what has happened. What you call difficult today in your life is simply because the thing has lingered too long. And because it lingered too long, it wore out your faith. And the reason it wore out your faith was because you were not spiritually in tune. When you are spiritually in tune, you are disconnected from the reality of sense knowledge evidence that is screaming at you. So sense knowledge evidence was screaming at the disciples that the boy didn't get delivered. The boy didn't get delivered. See, after 5 minutes, the boy is still manifesting. He didn't get delivered. Then they gave up and then they went carry the matter to Jesus. But Jesus spoke and that devil left and the boy was whole. Did you see that? So what that tells me is that if sense knowledge evidence begins to overwhelm the reality of the promises of God in your life, simply because that situation has lingered for so long, it means this is the time for you to get into prayer and fasting so that you can become more conscious of the spiritual world than the physical world. Hallelujah. Very quickly, I'll go through an example of a guy who had strong faith. Matthew chapter 8, I'll read verses 6 to 10 and then verse 13. Now, this is it. Matthew 8, verse 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. So Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Means I will come and I will lay my hands on him. But in verse 8, the centurion did something surprising. He answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now, this is surprising. He says, don't come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Verse 9 says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So Jesus called this man's faith great. Now, what was great about his faith that set him apart? I will tell you what it was. Jesus said, I will come to your house to touch your son, your servant, physically. But the man said, don't come to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, you got it. And the Bible says in verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. Do you know what it means there? Strong faith simply means that you are speaking the word only, and you are not speaking Twitter, Facebook, your relatives. You are not speaking all those negativity. You are not speaking all those discouraging things. You are speaking the word only, and your miracle shall be delivered unto you in no time. I'll see you guys next week. We can dissect this more further next week. See you guys next week. Bye.
So I'm super excited to bring this news to you. Breaking Soul Ties now comes to Lagos, Nigeria on the 16th of May 2015. Register now for free on www.soulties-niger.xyz. I repeat, www.soulties-niger.xyz. Hurry now. See you there. Thanks for listening to this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. To learn more about Soul Ties on Twitter, please follow our Shola Adio and our Soul Ties tweets. You can also visit www.breakingsoulties.com to read up on Soul Ties. To contact Shola Adio, please send an email to breakingsoulties@charisministries.org. That is K-A-R-I-S. ministries.org. You can also chat with him on BBM by using the following pin 52C7F3CD. I repeat, 52C7F3CD. We have come to the end of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. See you again same time next week. Jesus is Lord.